Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. It's a Friday. Man, we're getting y'all all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. So stand by. We got more to talk about. Before I go any further, though, I got to tell you, JP on sports, which I thoroughly enjoy. It's not only are you listen. I'm bragging on you. Just brace yourself.
Okay.
I don't do it every day.
Yeah.
But not only are you good at that, but it also gives me a break. I get to actually just enjoy myself for a few minutes
and just sit back, kick your feet up.
That's right. No, good stuff, man. Right. Hey, JP on sports though is brought to you every Friday by our friends at Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Listen, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. They are good at what they do, and what they do is they help you to not only get a great return on your investment and build your bottom line investments up, but they do it with what they call biblically responsible investing. It's a real thing. So biblically responsible investing basically means they help you to sort out using those Christian values that so many of us carry and make sure that you're not investing in woke companies that are anti-Christian or anti-American or anti just conservative values. They will help you see what you're investing in and still do so effectively. Inspire Advisors, if you want to know more about them, their website is, you ready for this? Their website is moneypatternwealth.com. That's Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, sponsor of JP on Sports. All right, before I jump into the next thing, I got to catch up on some text messages because y'all are awesome. Tim from Gurley says, did you catch Kareem's beginning of his call? He said, I was listening to Phil Jackson's, well, I think he meant Dale Jackson.
He said Dale. I got a vouch for Kareem there. I think he said Dale.
Okay. I heard Dale.
Yeah.
Matt from Madison said, but by the way, he listens to all the conservative shows. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. I took his call several times when I worked for Dale,
there
too.
You go.
So, hey, maybe we're wearing on him.
By the way, I did go ahead and make sure that JP had like a 7-month beta test and then I stole him away from Dale Jackson.
Yeah.
I noticed that Dale hadn't had me on his show a whole lot since then. Matt from Madison said about that statue again. It's a statue. Well, hang on a second. I want to read this. No, I'm not. David from Bucky's says, Phil, JP, NIL and the transfer portal has completely destroyed college sports. Gone are the days where commitment, dedication, and loyalty. Besides, how does an 18-year-old enter into a contract in Alabama? Well, they have to have their parents sign with them. That's just it. And they have to get agents. And, I mean, there's a whole cottage industry brewing up around this thing. And then on top of that, you're right, David. On top of that, here's the thing. High school and college sports was always the aspirational time of sports. It was when you were an amateur. You were not in paid status. You were playing for the love of the game. You were playing for the hope of moving up to the big leagues one day. You were playing for the right to be seen as part of a team and do a great job. And what we're losing now with NIL and the portal is, in my opinion, it used to always be about the team. Now it's all about the individual. How much can I get? What's in it for me? What do you got over there? I'll go to you instead of sticking with the guys who brought me. And I just find a big problem with that.
And he also mentioned with your parents, you know, having to sign with you and get a situation like we just saw with Nico Imaliava.
Oh, yeah.
We get a crazy, greedy dad who goes, son, you can get more money over here. And now he's playing on a worse team for like a quarter of the money he was originally getting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he looks like a fool doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Starter quarterback, Tennessee. Just took him to the playoffs.
Kevin from Huntsville says, talking about baseball, have you seen this photo artist? And he puts up a meme. What is it? Okay, all right.
He said he collects images of walk-off home runs and running third base. So I've seen this. The title is something like What It Looks Like to Come Into Heaven, and it's kind of a cool twist on it, yeah.
So is it a true, like he actually is a portrait made of a true event?
Oh, yeah, and I don't think it's Kevin, this guy, but there's a artist out there who takes photographs of walk-off home runs from this angle and says it's like what it looks like going into heaven.
That's kind of cool, actually. In case y'all can't see it, you're welcome to put it up if you want to. But in case y'all can't see this kind of thing, what we're looking at is the guy's rounding third, and his entire team, and maybe even some coaches mm-hmm. are all standing at the plate, cheering and welcoming him into the home plate. That's very cool. I like that. I love the idea of that's what it's like to be welcomed into heaven. That's cool. Badger from Athens sends me something. It's a brand new series for Disney Network called Maryland Dad. And it has the guy with tattoos all over his face and his family. And she's got a black eye. And they're just, yeah, it's awesome. Oh, boy. John from Huntsville says, JP, look up Alabama's most unusual monuments. I had no idea we had so many weird monuments. The Boll Weevil Monument is very weird. It is. And by the way, in Cherokee County, Alabama, they have a giant crappie because it's the crappie capital of the world. In Cherokee County.
Why would a city want to be called the crappy?
Crappy. Crappy.
Yeah.
Last one, and then we'll go to the next stuff. Actually, two more. Chris from Gadsden checking in. He says, this is funny. He says, time taken to get picked. New Pope, 2 days. Shador Sanders, 3 days.
That's funny.
You got to admit that's funny.
Yeah, it is.
And then Herb from Gurley says, I'm waiting for a better offer for my little leaguer. Hold out, Dad. Hold out for more money for your little guy. Going to have it unionize the little leagues. All right. Hey, we're going to jump into another topic, and I'm bringing in a dude. I'm bringing in a dude you all know and love. The Butter Man is in studio with us right now. Butters, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a day with family yesterday?
Yes, it was a sports day, speaking of the topic.
Did you hold out for more money on NIL for your daughter?
No.
I mean, girls' high school soccer is big doings.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun. We went up to Huntsville. Unfortunately, our Southside girls, it was the Final Four for the state, but they gave it a great effort, and ended up being like 90 degrees. I don't think anybody was prepared for that, including all the parents.
The IV bags out.
Yeah. But hey, champs, we had one girl that, lost her cookies out on the field. She was pressing hard, run over the sideline, open up the trash can, and she was back on the field in just a few minutes. I'm like, okay, all right, get some.
Listen, I watched my son playing football in practice and literally throw up in the huddle, and the whole huddle just like, oh, and they all just kind of like moved the huddle over, and they just kept going. He never came off the field. He just threw up in the huddle, and then they moved over a few feet and kept playing. But anyway, luckily it was real grass. So it probably burned it out, actually. But all right, so we're going to start a new topic, and Butters is here. I actually texted him and said, hey, man, you being a retired naval aviator, because that, by the way, people don't realize, Butters is not your nickname. It was your call sign.
Yes, indeed. The Gray Wolves, VAQ-142, was my fleet squadron, and some great dudes gave me that call sign.
All right, so I'm going to digress here for a moment. How is there a ceremony? How does the call sign? Who chooses the call sign? Who assigns the call sign? And then that moniker is now with you forever and ever. Amen.
In the Navy, it's typically what is going to be most degrading.
Most degrading?
Yeah, preferably based on...
So the whole Maverick Iceman thing is out.
No, yeah. You see some of that in the Air Force, but no, that's... I can't really discuss the call signs that I worked around.
But actually on the helmets, everybody had to stick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I've still got my helmet with Butters all stenciled on the back.
So who gave you the call sign?
I was one of the senior junior officers who just was like, ah, you look like Butters off of South Park. And so they after I'd been there for a while, and I guess I didn't do anything stupider. So they threw that out and a couple other ones I can't say on the radio. And, they chose, I mean, the more you fight it, the more likely it is that's the one you're going to get. So I'm blessed and thankful, to have some great dudes that dubbed me Butters.
Okay, so as long as we're chasing a rabbit, what is one of the best call signs? Like you saw it, you thought everybody wishes they had that call sign. That was awesome. Like Maverick, is there one out there you look at and go, wow, that dude actually he got one to be proud of.
Not that I can talk about on the radio.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen, I got Butters in here because my next topic, I'm skipping forward on the triple dipper here to fly the friendly skies. And I figured being an aviator, he might have some thoughts. And I will just say this, we're going to be talking largely about air traffic control. If we chase a rabbit here and there, still the focus is air traffic control because the Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, former congressman, now a secretary. He came out, I think it was yesterday, and he said, look, we've got a new report, and this new report clearly indicates that the Biden administration had all the evidence in their hands of how antiquated, out of date, and basically at risk our air traffic control systems are around the entire nation. I've got a piece here. Let me grab it real quick. I got a piece here that I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands from the New York Post. The U.S. experiences 1,000 air traffic control failures each week due to ancient equipment, with more and more expected. So air traffic controllers, it says, are facing about 1,000 equipment failures per week. Without a serious overhaul of the ancient systems, some airline industry insiders tell the Post we could have some serious problems. So anyway, the Trump administration says, and Secretary Duffy unveiled, the effort is underway now to do a 3-year complete overhaul of air traffic control systems in the United States. You had any experiences, like harrowing experiences, where ATC was saying, sorry, systems are down, do a flyby?
So in full disclosure, it's been close to about 15 years since I've actually been in the cockpit on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But it was old then. And I was in an airplane that was much, much older, so most of the problems were usually on our end.
You were a prowler guy.
But I want to couch all of this under the whole infrastructure, right? Of our continent. I mean, roads, sewer systems. I mean, that's what this air traffic control system, they've been working on that forever. The bureaucracy of just making decisions, that goes back a long time. And then the radar systems, the comm systems. I mean, the fact they're still using paper tapes to.
But you add to that the stress of the job. I mean, if you're at a high traffic airport, I mean, you look at like Reagan National, the event with that plane hitting the Black Hawk helicopter. You look at Newark. You look at Hartsfield International over in Atlanta. I mean, I've heard that that's one of the most stressful jobs in the United States, is working in the tower at a major airport like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was one of my fun jobs in the Navy, helping manage an approach control facility. So all of those type of controllers in some really busy airspace with student pilots for the Navy. So it was even more fun trying to keep them from not hitting each other. And those guys, mad respect to the air traffic controllers. They juggle a lot of stuff, and it can get really, really hairy. So
one of my gigs in the military, in the Army side, was to be qualified as a pathfinder. Pathfinders are trained in basic air traffic control. I'm not going to try and portray myself as an air traffic control guy, right? But because of that, I have this greater understanding of the cross flows of air traffic and the putting people into closed traffic patterns and getting them to do flyby while you bring this one in, and talking about the brownout conditions on the ground, all the things and the moving parts. And that's just like me on the ground talking to, five helicopters that are working a dust off or something. I'm just saying, all I know is that alone was a lot. And I cannot imagine systems failing while you're in the tower and you've got hundreds of planes carrying thousands of passengers all canvassing upon one airfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's the stuff on the ground is just as complex as the stuff in the air. And, the air traffic controllers, they don't tend to make movies about them so much, like you get like Top Gun. But, I mean, there's equally type A. They want to get a job done. They want to do it well, and they're darn good at it. And they're dealing with systems. They're managing all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, the fact that it's not surprising that we're seeing some of these failures with systems that have been around for decades.
Well, we got to take a break right now. We come right back. We'll dive into this a little more. But one of the things that we got to talk about is why it's been put off so long. Ah, eyes off the prize. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, it's going to be a short segment because I got carried away talking to Butters about call signs and stuff. And next thing I know, I look up and realize, holy cow, I almost skipped the break. So, just a few minutes here. But I got to say this. One of the things that we're looking at, and by the way, it's been on the screen, so props to CNN. This time, they actually talked about something I'm talking about. But They just had a whole thing on there and said that, Butters, did you see it on the screen? That Newark Airport, which is a major hub, Newark Airport has had another this week outage of both comms and communications and radar connectivity with incoming flights this week.
Have you seen, is there any stats on, is this just happening more? Like, are we seeing this more because it's become, you know, so especially after the crash in DCA? You know, I assume this is something that has really been an ongoing, we just haven't really heard about it because the powers that be didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and I think part of it is the powers that be have also discovered that, and what we discovered is there was a 2022 report done in the middle of the Biden era, in the middle of the Buttigieg era.
Yeah.
So Buttigieg had a report in his hands that outlined what we would call critical infrastructure failures that need to get remedied soon or people are going to lose their lives. And he sat on it and didn't say anything because he was too busy chasing racist roads and making sure that the Green New Steel had him riding a bike to the press conference and, you know, and then taking 2 months off for his paternity leave when he and his partner adopt. I'm being very derogatory, but he was the biggest waste for a critical secretary position of anybody I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But he had that report in his hands. That report is now, Duffy is now finding it and going, holy crap, they sat on this for 2 years of their administration. Well, and I can go through several things that are in it.
It might be a stretch to compare it to the southern border, but it's what happens when serious people aren't put in charge of dealing with serious problems.
People have never led a thing in their lives.
Yeah. And so, I mean, look, the air traffic control system is, it's amazing what we've been able to do. Like the fact that we can do that, and it's complicated and it needs serious people to deal with the issues.
The Trump administration says they're going to put together, we got like a minute here, but the Trump administration is putting together a four component plan. They say it's going to deal with communications, surveillance, automation, and facilities, all of it. And I'll go into more details and you can give me your thoughts on it here in a minute. All right. All right. Wow. That was quick. Holy cow. How'd that happen? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. I mean, it goes all the way from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the border from there to, yes, what we now once again get to call Fort Benning. Fort Benning! And then, oh, by the way, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Not to mention our listening audience online with all you guys all everywhere. No matter where you are in the big wide world, go to the World Wide Web and check us out at rightsidemedia.org. And, yeah, we got all the stuff. Hey, by the way, speaking of rightsidemedia.org, that's our website. We do a lot of stuff here at Right Side Radio. I mean, Right Side Media. That's the parent company of Right Side Radio. So, yes, we're on every day with this, doing Right Side Radio. But we got all these podcasts, everything else. In fact, my latest podcast, The Right Philosophy, came out on Friday. Today, Birdman, he's got Right Click podcast that came out. And that one is conservative commentary with using the technology, high-tech stuff, and gaming as the backdrop. And so if you got somebody who's big into gaming or tech, they might enjoy that. And then, you know, JP's got his on sports that comes out of Right Field on Mondays or Tuesdays. And then Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty's got hers, comes out on Sundays. And then, oh, by the way, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, has got his that comes out every other week. So, yeah, check it out. Rightsidemedia.org. All our stuff is on there. And we'd love to have you partake. All right, I'm going back to the discussion with Butters. Butterman, so the plan right now is, this is this is like a $25 billion three-year plan.
That's it?
Yeah, really. I mean, they spent that much getting eight EV chargers built during the Biden administration. But so they're replacing antiquated telecoms with, you know, getting it into fiber and all that, bringing it to the 21st century. They're looking at replacing upwards of 618 radars, which are past their life cycle. So the actual radars themselves are past their life cycle already. They're addressing runway safety. They are building six new air traffic control centers. I guess those are some kind of hubs. I guess their ATCs have hubs as opposed to just being isolated locally, or do you know?
It depends on how they're controlling. Basically, the bigger you get into the airspace, the more centralized the control of that is.
Okay.
So, like, your tower dude is in the tower, but...
Well, it says we haven't built a new one of these air traffic control centers since the 1960s.
I would believe that.
The 60s?
Yeah, I don't think the real fundamental structure of the airspace and where those... I mean...
Probably got linoleum floors and ashtrays next to the chairs.
Probably have ashtrays built into the consoles if I had to, yeah, probably if I so. Had to guess. So we got ours when I was down in Kingsville, Texas is where I was stationed. We actually upgraded a good chunk of our equipment. That was about 10 years ago, and it was
wow.
It was 1960s before.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, so and here's the thing. Jump on this topic or go with the tech actually, but either one. But this is not a luxury. This is, air travel in the 21st century is not a luxury. It's not like if you really want to go there, you can fly if you choose. No, this is part of life now. It's commerce, it's travel, it's business. I mean, it's a mandate for life in the 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, I thinking about this when you text me and I was trying to think about, like, how to describe. So... Who lives in a community that doesn't complain about potholes, right? We've got all these road issues, the road construction that we deal with all over. Like, that's just the issues that we're having with roads. And now we're talking about something that's a pretty complex thing,
yeah.
You know, and yeah, the fact that you've got 1960s era stuff.
If we were driving on 1960s asphalt, we'd all be complaining.
Yeah. Yes. Some of us probably argue that we do, depending on where we live, but, no, it's thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people every day, their safety. Most of them have no idea, what all is involved. And
Hey, JP, while we're sitting here, talking through this stuff, can you look up and see how many people, fly just domestically in the United States every week? Because I've got that one article I told you about a minute ago, Butters, from New York Post, that there's 1,000 air traffic control system failures every week due to ancient equipment. I'm wondering how many people are in the air when that happens. You see it? What do you got?
Roughly 12.11 million people per week, 1.73 million.
Just in the United States alone?
Domestically in the U.S. and 1.73 million per day, roughly.
Good Lord.
Well, I mean... The whole aviation world is, most of your privately owned airplanes now are 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, maybe is a newer plane. I'm talking mostly private aviation. Obviously, the airlines got a little more modern stuff, but I mean, I went to war in a plane that flew in linebacker 2 in Vietnam. and I'm not a B-52 guy. B-52 guys will roll their eyes at you.
Oh, yeah.
They're old airplanes.
All their planes are older than them.
Yeah. It is kind of obviously we've got a lot of modern stuff, F-35s and the new Boeing and Airbus products that are, you know, and the issues that they've had with Boeing. It's an old industry, quite honestly, with a lot of things. And then you look at what Elon Musk is doing, you know, catching rockets out of the air, and you go, huh, like, it seems like we could have a little bit better, a little safer. But I think it's kind of been the aviation world is one of those, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And so they've kind of like processes that have proven reliable. And
what I hate is that government often responds at the breakneck speed of a disaster.
Yes.
So it's too often is after the fact. I love the fact that the Trump administration is saying stop all the green energy expenditure madness. Stop pretending racist roads are out there. We got to spend billions on this.
Yes.
Because this is necessary now, and this saves lives.
You got to have serious people that'll focus on the right things. And quite honestly, you know, one real big concern I have is that politics getting sucked into aviation safety. That's the tough part. Aviation is complicated enough, and the politics doesn't belong anywhere. in there. We should be talking about how do we do this safely? What's the most, you know, effective and efficient way to do it? And everybody ought to, I mean, one of the things I loved about aviation was everybody stood up and said, I did this wrong, you did this wrong. And accountability is a huge thing because you have to learn from the mistakes. And, you know,
well,
politics doesn't help us learn.
Apparently, the Newark, New Jersey airport is the poster child for we got to fix this. I'm looking at one part of the study that came out, or I take it back, the New York Post article that came out, and it says that right now at Newark, the average flight is 4 hours delayed, and almost always because the FAA is having to hold planes on the ground while they work through systems issues. And it's just, yeah, this is. I don't want to. I hate to say these kind of things, like an accident waiting to happen. But you know what I'm saying? You just hate to hear that this is all now known in a report. But I think Congress is going to have to allocate funds for this. It's going to have to be in some legislation and get it. And you look at how much they wasted money on in the last 4 years, and you think their eye was so off the prize. They were willing just to throw money at stuff that was imaginary, illusory, agenda-driven. And now we're looking at a report that says, do you know what you're missing right now?
Well, and how much money are we spending overseas? For
USAID. My gosh.
You know, I mean, yeah, which I think is what people have been screaming for years now of what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. All right. Well, listen, air traffic control, big doing. By the way, part of the problem, I didn't even get into this. Part of the problem also is lack of staffing. Aging systems are the main problem, but the report is also saying that we have way fewer certified professional air traffic controllers out there than we did this time 12 years ago.
I think a big piece of that is we're making less military across the board, pilots, air traffic controllers, maintainers. There's just less of them just because we don't produce as many as we have traditionally. But I think it's also very similar to what, you know, the whole micro works and the I guess, quote unquote, blue collar jobs. That's a really good career field for air traffic control. I don't know if you've looked into the salaries, but rightfully so. You talked about all the stress and the complexities. I mean, you're very easily into a six figure job over there, and we're not pushing people, the right people, to necessarily go try that out. And
all right, you bring up a point. On your keyboard right there, brother, go ahead and take a look and see what is the average starting salary for an air traffic controller. I'm curious. And while he's doing that, do you have any idea what is the level of training they have to go through? Do you go off to boot camp, or do you train on the job? Do you go to school somewhere?
So it depends. The Navy does it a little different than the Air Force, and then the civilian side, I'm not 100% sure how the civilian side of it does, but the Navy, we do it all with enlisted guys. And so that's their starting schools. They learn the basics and then they go to a facility typically, or they'll go out to a carrier and they get qualled, on different steps. So
carrier deck's a whole entirely different animal.
Yeah. It's a very different aspect of air control. But, so I was at an approach control facility. So we trained from a new guy up to talking a guy into landing. So
what'd you find out?
The average starting salary for an air traffic controller in the U.S. is around $61,000.
That's not great. It's not great.
According to Career Explorer and Aviation.
Does that require a college degree?
That's a good question.
Okay. We'll find out.
I know on the military side, the retention money that they were throwing out, some of the biggest, especially on the enlisted side in the Navy, is to air traffic controllers. Because they also, once you get them qualified, because it takes years typically to get fully qualified in a facility.
Yeah.
And once you've got them fully qualified and you've got to have currency and all that kind of stuff, it's very, very time consuming. And so you throw money at them to keep them. And
yeah, save money by spending money. Absolutely. What you got?
Well, a degree isn't strictly mandated. It says aspiring air traffic controllers would generally benefit from it. So not strictly required.
That was a true AI answer. Okay. All right. Listen, we're taking a break right now. Last break of the Friday. And then we'll come right back, wrap up, get some text messages, and head to the house. It is go home time almost on a Friday afternoon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.